Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have two wonderful panelists. First up, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
And Andrew, I apologize. I forgot to introduce you properly. Let me try that again. With me today, I have Andrew Dark Mode Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
We've decided Andrew's in dark mode all the time. Andrew did not correct this presumption, so here we are. Also with me today, I have the wonderful John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Aw, shucks. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Kelly. Congratulations on this is your one-year anniversary of being host of TMO's Daily Observations podcast. Congratulations again.
Thank you, John. Also, today is episode number 1300 for people playing along at home, so it's like two big deals at once. I will say that this chair is a little more comfortable than it was last October, and I hope that as the show has grown and evolved, that all of you have sort of enjoyed it. And I like to think that every day we're doing our best to put out the best show that we can, and sometimes that includes updates and different sorts of things that we're going to try and see how things go. And I've very much enjoyed having all of you along with us while we've done that. So thanks again, John. The first thing we want to talk about today is one of the things that we talk about a lot here, because we think it's important to have PSAs for people who may not know about some of the security updates or other sorts of updates that we need to know about. And Andrew, you have one. Courtesy of Charlotte, who wrote up something about iPhone 5 getting an update.
Yeah, so this is PSA number one. So back earlier this year in April, there was some kind of a GPS time rollover issue. I don't know what that means, but it affected a bunch of products that use GPS. Mm-hmm. Now, Apple devices aren't impacted until just before November 3rd. Now, I think the latest update of iOS 13, or maybe the base update, covered this, so you don't have to worry about it unless you have an iPhone 5. Because if you don't update, you won't be able to use the App Store, iCloud, email, the web. I think at that point, your iPhone will just be a brick. Mm-hmm. So go into settings, tap general and software update, and if you have an iPhone 5, see if you have an update for that.
Yeah. So what the rollover is GPS systems and the entire GPS system itself uses... For time and date information, one of the things it uses is a week number, and that week number starts from a particular thing, but it can only go up to 1,024 weeks, and then it has to roll over to zero again. So the first, week zero for GPS systems was like January 1980. It was 1980, and I think it was January. And so 1,024 weeks rolled over in 1999, and then it became week zero again and started counting up. And then when it gets to week 1,023, that was April of this year. And so that's part of where the problem was. And so to make sure that the date is correct, there's other stuff that has to happen as part of the GPS system so that it knows, you know, which week 127 or whatever it is that you're actually referring to. So a lot of stuff got firmware updates earlier this year, and I think there was some happening last year with, and this, like, car GPS units and anything else that uses the GPS system needed to have some information that was updated to make sure that this didn't essentially brick the GPS functioning in the device that was using it. So luckily you won't have to worry about it for like another 1,000 weeks, so hopefully that works in most people's favor. At least that's my hope. So that is the first in today's update PSAs, and the second one, I'm gonna go right back to Andrew and go, hey Andrew, we have another update. Yeah. Or not, to tell people about.
Yes, yeah, so PSA number two, apparently some people found that iOS 13.2, which was released yesterday, was bricking their HomePods. According to this article, I guess some people noticed that Apple Music went offline temporarily, so some people tried to unpair or reset their HomePod. When that happened, it got stuck in an infinite boot loop.
Ooh.
So other people were saying maybe it was just something else in 13.2. So Apple has since pulled this update. Mm-hmm. If you have already updated and you haven't noticed anything, you're probably fine.
Right.
It's just only for HomePod users who may have seen some issues. And some people are saying don't unpair or reset your HomePod until maybe the Apple corrects this with a new software update.
Yeah, kind of leave things alone. I did notice a couple friends of mine who were talking about, like, I'm having issues with Apple Music. I think one person said it was on their HomePod. And then another person said, like, I'm having trouble on my iPad, but on my phone it's fine. Neither of them were developer releases or anything like that. But this would be another time that I would underscore my own personal stance on all updates from Apple, which is it used to be a lot longer because it took a lot longer for news to travel. In the olden days, Andrew, we had to do things by Pony Express. You can ask your grandparents about that. In order to make sure that system updates were also rolled out via Pony Express, which for some people was pretty inconvenient, but you know,
there's nothing like receiving a new DVD from Pony Express. Joy.
I love you, John. That was perfect. So I used to have to wait a while before I would pull the trigger on an update because generally I don't have a backup machine. So if something goes terribly wrong with an upgrade, I'm out of luck until I get it fixed. So I usually wait. And I used to have to wait a lot longer, but now I usually wait about 24 hours and make sure that there's not some sort of giant hiccup. You know, for those who remember, there was a system update to iOS that took away the ability to make phone calls with your phone. So that was fun. Wait, no, not fun. The other thing. And there have been different little weird buggy updates that happened on various devices over time. So I usually try to give it about 24 hours and check the usual sources and make sure that things are working as they should before I pull the trigger on that. And this is just another one of those examples. So this is mostly a twofold PSA. First of all, if you have a HomePod that you haven't updated yet, maybe, you know, understand that there's a reason that everything else got update reminders, but your HomePod didn't. And if you did update to it, sit tight and maybe don't mess with anything until we know for sure that it's going to work the way it should. Thank you, Andrew, for both of those PSAs. I'm interested in mm-hmm. both of them. And if anyone out there has an iPhone 5, I'm glad to know that those will still be functional devices, at least as functional as they can be in 2019. Also today, we have John. You wanted to talk to us a little bit about partly a really interesting interview you had on Background Mode, but also a little bit about something that has sort of become a hobby of yours, and that is observing payment systems in restaurants.
Yeah, that's been obsessing me for a long time. It all started when I was looking for Lockheed Martin, and we had an hour for lunch. And it was a long drive to our favorite restaurants, and so we were in a hurry. And the getting back on time depended on how quickly the server brought the check.
Yes.
And so we got into this mode of having the server bring the check with the meal. So I could sign and take care of the paperwork, and when we were done eating, we could walk. And sometimes that didn't always happen. And sometimes I was coaching the servers, my favorite server at my favorite restaurant. We went to a Chili's and had this server frequently. And I'd say, you know, if the customer is wearing a tie, do not make them wait for their check because they're spinning their wheels when waiting for you. So this all just kind of launched my lifelong fascination with payment technology in restaurants. So the rest of us have moved on to, you know, things like Apple Pay and Google Pay, and I'm in line at the grocery store and I'm ready to pay for the groceries and I go doink with my watch. It's so cool. But you go into a restaurant and the server comes over with a pad, you know, and you're using a paper menu and she writes down what you want. And then when she comes back with a bill printed on, you know, paper electronically, but then you have to wait for that to happen. And sometimes you're done eating and the check has not arrived and you're waiting and waiting. And then you do give the server a credit card and they disappear. Mm-hmm. They walk off with it. One time, one of my servers at a Chili's fumble fingered the credit card and dropped it behind the counter, big, heavy 1,000-pound counter where you couldn't get to it easily. And so I said, come back tomorrow. We'll fish it out overnight. Come back for your credit card later. So, you know, it's an interesting contrast how the payment industry, and most notably, you know, the Apple Pay we love, has moved forward and made advances. And at least we have chip cards now, but Apple Pay and Google Pay are a joy, and it's the way it ought to be. But you can't do that at a table. The one restaurant I go to tried this experiment where they had this little thingy that they took your order and everything was processed at the table, but you still couldn't use Apple Pay. They had to swipe your card. Mm-hmm. And then there's another restaurant I go to that's got the Ziosk system, which is head and shoulders above all that. But it's the only restaurant I know of that's using Ziosk, and that's a little iPad-like terminal. Mm-hmm. And when you're the server,
and it's on a stand, right? Like, there's is it the thing that you can like play games on too?
Yeah.
I think
the server takes your order, but then when you're ready to pay, you just tap, and there's a slide bar, like a slide rule, or ruler that slides, and you pick your tip, and then you just doink with your Apple Watch, and you're out of there. But that's only one restaurant that I go to that I've seen when that's in place. So a couple of weeks ago, I got a note from a PR rep about this fellow who started a company called Grubber, which goes beyond the Ziosk system, which is simply a payment system, to encapsulating everything that you do with these little kiosks. It's actually got the menu on a vertical display kiosk, like a giant iPad in the vertical mode. And you can sit at the table and you can scan through there and you can touch what you want and order. And then when you're ready to pay, you use Apple Pay if you wish, and you're out of there.
Okay.
So I had an interesting discussion with the CEO and founder, Bavin Asher, yesterday on Background Mode, which we'll put in the show notes.
Yes.
And he told me about how his experience at IBM and Deloitte and Salesforce.
Okay.
Helped him develop the expertise he needed to start his own company, especially at Deloitte, where he learned how to leverage business technology so that it can scale. You know, a lot of times when individuals form companies on their own, they're limited by their expertise and they're limited by their ability to acquire talent and grow and scale the company and get funding. And often small companies fail just because of the lack of vision and resourcefulness and professional business expertise on how to scale and grow a company. So Bavin had that experience at IBM and Deloitte, and so far, so all is well. He's in Panda Express in Irvine, California, and he's working on several other companies. And this is applicable at, you know, bakeries, bars, hotels even. Mm-hmm. Anytime you need an instant service, these little kiosk payment things are so head and shoulders above the way we pay most of the time in most of the little delis and bakeries and restaurants that we go to, and even big restaurants. And I asked him about that during the show, and I said, why is it the restaurants seem to be so lagging? Are they lacking funds? And he said, no, it's not always lack of money. It's lack of technical vision. They're so busy. Everything they're doing works and they're overworked.
Yeah.
And restaurants don't typically have a CTO. Excuse me. So business owners are not technically savvy. And so they're skeptical when somebody throws them a pitch about how to upgrade their systems. Mm-hmm. And the question is about cost. Now, the average time you wait for your check after you finished your meal is 6 to 8 minutes. If you can reduce that to zero, you can have that guest happily on his way, not frustrated, not having to wait to pay. And a new guest can take that place and be ordering food. Mm-hmm. And he's enlisted a survey, a study, to figure out what's going on. And he said, if you can eliminate that wait period in a 40-seat restaurant from 6 to 7 minutes to zero, it pays for his system.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, there's a 14% growth in the number of personnel that you need. So you're not putting people out of work. Because you have more throughput, people aren't waiting and sitting around and taking up table space when they're done eating. You have actually a need for more people on the back end of the restaurant, more people to create food and get things moving, and more runners to get food moved out. So you're just replacing servers with more cooks.
And that was the thing I was interested in, when, because that seems to me like a thing that a lot of people would come back with, which is, you know, if you're taking that transaction away from the wait staff, then obviously you need less wait staff. And so why would I install this system if it's just going to put people out of work? And right. The thing that you pointed out is that that's not true at all. Which was the interesting piece of this to me, is that you actually end up needing more people because you're getting more customers through the place. And so
customers are happier. You need your cash flow is better. Yeah. Your business grows. Yep. So that was a very interesting interview with Bavin Asher yesterday on Background Mode. I also asked him the jackpot question about, you wouldn't think it's a big thing, but it is, but the sanitary aspect of these touch terminals. You know, you have kids playing games, you have people touching the thing all day long. They sneeze on their plates, they sneeze on their terminals. And they actually have thought about that, and they have a mechanism in place where the terminals can be cleaned in a special way every night, just like Apple cleans their iPods in the Apple stores every night, iPads, iPhones. Mm-hmm. Every night at the Apple stores, they use a disinfectant because hundreds of people touch any given device during the day.
Yeah.
So I just thought of that. So, and it's not just limited to restaurants. It's branching out to things like hotels and other places where you want to just pay and go instead of waiting in line. Theaters, movie theaters.
Mm-hmm. That sounds, to me, that sounds really interesting.
He's also working on AI technology for the future. He revealed some plans to me about how he's going to have a system whereby it recognizes you with your Apple Watch. So you walk into the restaurant, maybe it's a little cafe you go to, or maybe not a Starbucks, but maybe some other cafe that's privately owned, or a chain. And you go in and you just tap your Apple Watch to the terminal and says, "Hi, John Marcellaro, I recognize you. Do you want your usual coffee and bagel?" And say yes. And you just tap again to pay. And you tap your watch again and you're paid and you go pick up your food and you're out of there.
Oh, this is
the wave of the future. This is it's taking a long time in the restaurant industry, but I think eventually these kinds of payment methods are going to be taking over, and the paper menus are going to be gone because they're expensive to print and expensive to alter. And they're always dirty and dropped on the floor and not very clean. So it's coming. It's coming. It's just taking its time.
Interesting. Andrew, how do you feel about that? Does that seem like something you would be interested in? Would you be more likely to go back someplace where you're not held hostage by the check?
Yeah. Last week or a couple weeks ago now, when I visited California, there was like all the restaurants were great, but there was one, like the food was good, the waitress was great, but it just took a while for us to get our check. And I was like, man, I wish there was a terminal here right at the table where I could just tap my phone and pay instantly so we can be out of here. So I think John's idea would be great.
Yeah. I think this is, ideally, this is something that's going to just keep happening.
And there's so many stories about, it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen even a small percent of the time, but there's always stories about occasional server who will take your credit card into the bag and charge you for the meal and then buy something on Amazon and then give your card back.
You know, it's just a security thing, though, you know, and
yeah.
It, as weird as this sounds, it seems like, at least from here, the place that needs the thing that needs the most security around it would be your credit card or your credit card number, and that seems to be one of the least secure places. Like, only just recently, because someone got a hold of my credit card information and I had to get a new one, my new credit card doesn't have the number on the front. So
interesting.
Like, at first when I looked at it, I went, oh, what happened to my credit card? Are they gonna have to send me a new one? Like, this one obviously didn't get printed. And I turned it over and the number's on the back. So when you swipe it through, whatever, you know, nobody can see that credit card information, which seems like a very obvious thing to me that should have happened a really long time ago. But, you know, anyway, so things like not having the number printed on the front in giant raised letters where everyone can see it. Like an Apple card. Not handing that card, whatever it's made of, to somebody who gets to walk away with it for an indeterminate amount of time and then return to you. Like, these seem like very obvious things to me that maybe should be fixed. And that's one of the sort of side benefits, I think, of this system that you're talking about, John, and those kiosk systems that we've seen in some other places. Red Robin has them here. I don't know if Red Robin has them everywhere or not, but I know here, Red Robin has one of those. And it's fascinating to me because it prints a receipt out the back if you want the paper receipt. And it doesn't look like a unit that's large enough to store any significant amount of paper. So I just find that really interesting.
Is it Ziosk or is it another system?
I think it's Ziosk or something like that, because you can play games on it in the meantime, but they've added stuff to it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, initially it was
Sounds like Ziosk, because that prints, the one I use prints receipt if you want it.
And it, like, initially it was just, hey, you can pay. And now, like, it wants to know if you want an appetizer, or it has, like, a button on it that you can call your server. So if you need somebody, you can get their attention that way. And then you could pay the check at your convenience and leave at your convenience, which is really nice. And particularly if, you know, like Andrew's experience, if anybody's ever been in a restaurant that's been really busy and, you know, your table doesn't need food anymore and you're not waiting on ketchup or anything. So, like, you're kind of not a priority. So sometimes it's hard for, a very busy wait staff to remember, oh, hey, I need to get that person their check so that I can get, you know, so they can get paid and get out, you know, get out of here in a timely fashion if that's what they're interested in doing. So I always find those sorts of things interesting, and in this case it's sort of the side benefit of security that I think is one of the appealing things as far as that goes. And because I've been places and just been held hostage by the check, like, I really want to pay, I'm sitting here with my credit card and nobody seems to be able to realize that, like, I don't have my check and I really want to be done sitting here. Like, we have places to be, or, you know, whatever it is that's happening, and I want to get on with the rest of it. And, you know, all I need to do is pay you and leave, and nobody seems interested in bringing the check. So I'm always curious to see what sort of stuff can just be done to make that kind of thing more efficient. And I like the idea,
well,
John, that this isn't eliminating jobs.
The meal, they'll usually do it.
Oh yeah.
So that's one technique you can use.
Yeah.
Oh, the legacy notion is that if there's something wrong, or there's some failure of service, or you need to add something like dessert, then you have to fiddle with, you know, adjusting the check.
Right.
But if you don't think you're going to order dessert and you're going to eat and go,
yeah,
you know, that's a technique you can use.
Yeah. I've been to places in airports also, like, a few times when I've been traveling and had enough layover to sit and eat somewhere. They will usually ask me what time your flight leaves, which is a good way to prioritize. Like, if I have all the time in the world, you know, because I have a 3-hour layover or something, like, I'm not as interested in getting it as promptly as the person whose flight leaves at the top of the hour. Right. So that kind of stuff also makes sense. Fascinating stuff. I'm going to direct everybody over to the interview, John, that you have over there on Background Mode, which, by the way, is a show that I enjoy very much. If it's not something you're listening to, you definitely should be. There's always somebody interesting over there. Disclaimer, sometimes that person is me. But also, you have lots of other people on that talk about a wide variety of topics, and I always think those interviews are pretty interesting. So thank you, John, for bringing us that information.
You're
and
welcome.
Andrew, thank you so much for being here today. I'm glad you were able to bring us your PSAs.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And John, again, thank you for being here and telling us about your Grubber interview over on Background Mode.
You're very welcome, man. Congrats on 1 year TDO, Kelly. Yay.
Well, here's to many more. There's nothing in my coffee, but I raise it in your direction. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. I hope you all have your costumes ready for Thursday. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.